going to need your help today. I want you to pay attention. Whether you live in the city of Cleveland or you live in Northeast Ohio and you visit the city of Cleveland, the city of Cleveland has many attractions, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, the museums. A lot of people go for hospitals. You got the Indians, the Browns, the Cavs. You got Playhouse Square. You have the waterfront. So, I mean, there's a lot of visitors to Cleveland. And I think you would want Cleveland to be safe when you visit it. Okay? I want you to hear a woman. Her name is Brenda Bickerstaff. She was at a meeting, a Cleveland community police meeting. And I want you to listen to this. Brenda Bickerstaff basically threatened people. I'll explain after you take a listen to this. Listen closely.
So I'm going to leave here today to say we still got a long way to go. That's why we need this charter amendment to get that commission so we can get this under control. Because if it doesn't, I guarantee you it's going to be another riot in Cleveland.
Okay, she is telling you about Issue 24. Issue 24 would take all the control away from the police and put it in a civil board committee, whatever the hell it is you want to call it. And the police would have no authority over the police. This board would. Now, Issue 24 is something you have to vote on. And she basically threatened people that if they don't vote for it, there's going to be a riot. Well, we saw last time what happened with a riot in Cleveland, what it did to businesses, what it did to the economy, the damage it did, what it did to the residents. And last time I checked, riots are against the law. Unless I've completely, not protesting, there's a those are two different words. Two different definitions, two different meanings. This woman needs to go to jail. This woman is promoting violence. If Issue 24 doesn't pass. So now, what are we going to do? We're going to threaten you to vote a certain way? That's the mentality that's going on now in the city of Cleveland with Issue 24. She's going to threaten you. You don't pass Issue 24, basically, we're going to riot. I don't know who we are. Because I think most residents of the city of Cleveland want the police to be in charge. Of course, you got a guy running for mayor, Justin Bibb, who's for Issue 24. You have another one, Kevin Kelly, who's against Issue 24. You're basically now threatening people with a riot, and nothing is being said, and nothing is being done. Now, I know the majority of people listening don't live in the city of Cleveland. I get that. I mean, there's a lot of people listening that do live in the city of Cleveland. But the majority of people probably listening, that's probably 75-25%. Probably 75% of the people listening don't live in Cleveland because outside of Cleveland is a bigger area and we have a big signal. But probably 25% of people listening live in the city of Cleveland. But even if you don't live in the city of Cleveland, you're going to visit it. I mean, I go to the casino. I go to Playhouse Square. That's about it for me right now. But I visit the city of Cleveland. And when I go, I want to feel safe and be safe. But you're basically being threatened now with a riot. Threatened. This woman needs to be in jail. I mean, if I was on the air promoting a riot, I would be removed from the air and I would probably be prosecuted. It gets to a point now where enough is enough. I mean, trying to take the power away from the police is the app. It's stupidity at the ultimate level. Let me play Brenda Bickerstaff one more time. I mean, she's promoting a crime, and there's nobody down there doing anything. You heard Justin Bibb open his mouth. You heard Kevin Kelly. You heard the current mayor. You heard the police chief. This woman needs to be arrested. And she did it at, I don't know what a Cleveland Community Police hearing is.
Cleveland Community Police Commission hearing. It was established as part
of the... Is that where are there policemen there?
I would imagine police are in attendance, yes.
And well, how is this woman not arrested?
It's a good question. I can't answer that for you.
She's threatening the voters. Take a listen.
So I'm going to leave here today to say we still got a long way to go. That's why we need this charter amendment to get that commission so we can get this under control. Because if it doesn't, I guarantee you it's going to be another riot in Cleveland.
I mean, those are her words. I guarantee you there's going to be another riot in Cleveland. Do you know the damage the last riot did? You know how many people broke the law in the last riot? That's what she's promoting. And this is what I try to tell you. I know the lot of you are just going, you're yawning. But you visit Cleveland. How many people out there don't go to an Indians game, a Browns game, a Cavs game? The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, the Science Museum, Cleveland Clinic, University Hospital, Metro, restaurants, waterfront. So even if you visit Cleveland, you should be concerned. The casino, you should be concerned. I mean, I don't get how this is going unnoticed. This is what we're dealing with today. I mean, listen, my name ends in a vowel. You want to start threatening people to vote a certain way? That's easy to get done. But, oh, by the way, that's against the law. I mean, I could get some people that you'd pay attention to. Is that how we're going to operate in the United States of America? If you don't vote this way, I guarantee you there's going to be another riot. That's against the law. Where is law enforcement? Where is the mayor right now? Where is Kevin Kelly or Justin Bibb saying, listen, this is not what we're promoting? This is a joke. This is scary that this stuff can go on. And guess what? If it goes on in Cleveland, it could start going on in your neighborhood. This is a complete threat. A complete threat. I'll play it one more time for you.
So I'm going to leave here today to say, we still got a long way to go. That's why we need this charter amendment to get that commission so we can get this under control. Because if it doesn't, I guarantee you it's going to be another riot in Cleveland.
She guarantees there's going to... So is she organizing a riot, getting ready to go in case issue 24 doesn't pass?
By saying
isn't that
words,
against the law?
Yes.
And then issue 24, let me just play something here for you. What's in issue 24?
The Hot Button Issue 24 goes before Cleveland voters Tuesday. If passed, it would create a citizen review board made up of non-elected residents, which would oversee police conduct investigations and have the authorization as to how officers are disciplined. The citizen review board would also oversee police training and recruitment, and $4 million taxpayer dollars would be used to fund the board, an amount opponents say could hire 40 Cleveland police officers.
So you want a board of civilians running a police department rather than the police? Let me go to Bob in Euclid. You better be concerned about this. You better not let this go in one ear and out the other. Bob, you're in the air, Bob.
Hey, how you doing, Mike? Listen, good, I'm about Bob. The same age as you. I grew up in Cleveland. I ended up moving to Euclid, but I worked in Euclid in 1978. I've been calling you for years. Now, this is the same Bickerstaff. Her father was once a policeman. Her brother was in line to be a policeman, but he ended up being a bully. And he died maybe 20 years ago from bullying someone who shot him. Now, the community policing or board is great when it comes to the people on the board are ex-policemen, families. But I think we need that voice in the community with the police, because I grew up in Cleveland, and I remember East Cleveland, a black guy couldn't even go into East Cleveland unless he was stopped and was heading to a specific situation or specific area. Now, it's the same way in the suburbs. Most of these guys that live in the suburbs now are from the city of Cleveland, who moved out of Cleveland because of the crime rate. Now, when I was coming up, I grew up on Huff from the 60s when the riots started. Reason the riots started was because of the policemen not doing their jobs and not involving the community in the way they do their job. Now, don't get me wrong. I respect you, Mike. I've been listening to you for 20 years, probably. And I like the things you say, but it's the same way with the insurrection in January, that riot started because of what people wanted. But now I'm saying the same thing.
Yeah, I got a lot of phone calls, Bob, but that was 50, 60 years ago.
Right.
And you have to go back 50, 60 years to justify your comments.
No, to justify Bob,
a black person is not getting stopped from driving into the suburbs.
I'm still getting profiled for driving in the Beechwood if I'm not heading to the mall, and now it's to the point where a black person,
there's a ton of black families that live in Beechwood. Thank you for the phone call. I'm from the area, Bob. I have black neighbors. They're not stopped when they're trying to drive to their home through Lyndhurst or Beechwood or Mayfield Heights. That may have taken place, but this country rectified that years ago. Years ago. And Bob, I hate to tell you this, but there was a situation, and I don't remember the area. There was a black acquaintance of mine years ago, and he asked me to take him home one night because something happened with his car where we were at, okay? And he asked me to take him home. And anyway, to make a long story short, I took him home at 1 o'clock in the morning. I dropped him off in front of his house. He said, "Thank you, Triv." Gave me a high five. I pulled away. I drove about a quarter of a mile, and I got stopped by the police. You know why I got stopped by the police? Because I was white. That's why I got stopped by the police. The police wanted to know what I was doing there. I started laughing, and I told them the story. So, I mean, come on, seriously. I mean, please, Don't run all this nonsense by me now. This, and you're avoiding what I'm trying to bring up here. This woman is promoting a riot. A riot is against the law. When you promote rioting, when you promote prostitution, gambling, drugs, anything that's against the law, I'm using as an example here, you get arrested. That's the way the country works. You can't promote a riot. That is threatening voters. If you don't, here's what we'll do. That's not how this country works legally. Take a listen here. Take a listen to her.
So I'm going to leave here today to say we still got a long way to go. That's why we need this charter amendment to get that commission so we can get this under control. Because if it doesn't, I guarantee you it's going to be another riot in Cleveland.
And what she's talking about is issue 24. How is this possible? You know, a wise man once told me, you know, there's a lot of things that stick with you if you have a brain. You know, certain things people say to you over the course of your life, and you never forget them. I don't know why that is, but certain things just stick in you. Like, you could forget who the left tackle is or the running back for the Cleveland Browns when Bernie Kosar played. But do you ever notice that when there's certain things told to you, and it could have been 30 years ago, 50 years ago, 40 years ago, 10 years ago, there's just certain things that just stick in your head and you never forget. Like, my father has just told me a million different things. And a bunch of them have stuck with me. And my father told me that when I was a teenager, when I was growing up, trying to help me grow up. But this didn't come from my father. This came from a wise man. I want you to think about this. And then our phone numbers are 216-578-1100, 216-578-1111. A very wise man told me one time, if you don't get along with the police, 99 9/10% of the time, it's you, not the police. I want you to think about that for a while. All the run-ins, I mean, there's times where the police are wrong. I mean, Alex Baldwin just shot somebody to death on a stage. This is what I try to tell you. Human beings make mistakes. Ask Alec Baldwin. Ask the people that loaded the gun. Human beings make mistakes. I don't care what profession it is. But most of the time, when you're not getting along with the police, it's you, not the police. Our phone numbers are 216-578-1100. We'll take your phone calls after Julie does the news.
Thank you, Trev. The Ohio School Board Association is cutting ties with the National School Board Association after it asked for federal intervention. The Ohio Board disagreed with a letter sent by the National Board to the president requesting federal assistance over alleged threats made in response to COVID-19 policies. The Ohio Board says it values parental and community discussion at board meetings, and any threats should be handled at the local level, not by federal authorities. The White House remains optimistic today about getting a deal on the sweeping social spending bill. President Biden is still trying, though, to get Democrat progressive and moderates together on a final package. Bay Village police say that DNA evidence could help solve the cold case killing of Amy Mihaljevic, the 10-year-old girl that went missing 32 years ago today. She was found stabbed to death later on at a field in Ashland County. Bay Village police are urging the public to focus on a curtain that was found close to her body, as it may be recognizable to someone out there, and to also contact them. More Americans are in need of liver transplants due to the coronavirus pandemic, according to a University of Michigan study, which found patients who got liver transplants or were on the national waiting list for one shot up to 50% higher than expected. The transplant need is linked to alcoholic hepatitis, which kills off healthy liver cells needed to process alcohol and also survive. Your traffic and weather is together mornings and afternoons. Here's Olivia.
From the Elk and Elk Traffic Center, if an auto accident caused you injury, call 1-800-ELK-OHIO. Watch for accidents 480 East at the Jennings, also 90 West at Columbia, and on Northfield at Miles Road. This report is sponsored by News Nation.
All too often, the media are ignoring the everyday heroics of our policemen and women. Well, that changes on News Nation. Dan Abrams and his live PD sidekick, Styx, are back in prime time on Dan Abrams Live, weeknights at 8, 7 Central on News Nation.
Olivia Musica, WTAM traffic at 1100 AM and 106.9 FM.
And your 3 News weather today, we're going to top out in the 50s for tonight. Partly cloudy with an overnight low in the 40s. And for Thursday, mostly cloudy skies, a little bit warmer. Highs in the mid to upper 60s. I'm Julie Holliday. Your next news is at the top of the hour and anytime on Facebook or Twitter at WTAM 1100.
Before I go to the phone lines, too, please don't tell me to shut my mouth. I don't live in Cleveland. I visit Cleveland. Okay? And when I do, I want it to be safe. And most of you listening visit Cleveland for one reason or another. The people that run Cleveland and the people that promote Cleveland are a joke. And taking power away from the police is even a bigger joke. You need two things in Cleveland. You need more police officers, and number two, you got to let them do their job. And when they overstep their authority, they will be punished. Every police officer now has a body cam. That's the way it works. And like I told you, mistakes will happen. There will be police officers that make mistakes because they're human beings. And sometimes they're in life-threatening situations where you have a second to make up your mind what to do. People have no common sense. Try to make up your mind in 1 second. See how many times you're right and wrong. I guarantee you it will vary frequently. When you don't have days to ponder what you're going to do, you have a second or two to ponder what you're going to do. You need more police, and you need them to let them do their job. Unless you just don't want us to go to Cleveland. I mean, I don't know why. I mean, seriously, I wish they would get everything out of Cleveland. I really do. I think it's a joke. And then, If this is what you want, issue 24, if you want to threaten riots and stuff like that, fine. And we don't have to go there. We don't have to go to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Playhouse Square, Cleveland Browns, Indians, Cavs. I mean, you know, there's a million things. But then you got the hospitals. Sometimes you have to go for necessities. So please don't tell me to shut my mouth, because I'm not going to. I want to play Brenda Bickerstaff one more time, okay? She's threatening a riot, and no one said a word in this city. This is what a joke this city has become with leadership. She's threatening a riot if you don't vote a certain way on issue 24. Listen.
So I'm going to leave here today to say, we still got a long way to go. That's why we need this charter amendment to get that commission so we can get this under control. Because if it doesn't, I guarantee you it's going to be another riot in Cleveland.
She guarantees you there's going to be another. She's promoting a riot. I am truly living in a world I don't understand. Truly. That's unbelievable to me. Unbelievable. The leadership in this town is horrific. It really is bad. I tell you, it's really bad.
Maybe the FBI's got to get involved here, Triv.
Why not?
Yeah. Obviously, that woman made that statement, and nothing's been done. It's got to go above the local level. We'll see.
I mean, isn't that directly and indirectly threatening voters?
To me, it's a direct threat, yes.
Or am I missing something?
You're not missing anything. I heard it the same way you did.
Angelo, you're in the air.
Yo, Trev.
Yo, Ange.
I'm going to second that you don't need to shut your mouth about this issue. Of course, the keyboard warriors, I'm sure, will be out later saying something about how this is probably bigotry, or you're somehow in the wrong for sticking up for police officers, I'm sure, for a lot of people that will sit behind a computer. But the thing that I don't know whether to laugh or cry or chuckle or somewhere in between, it's the hypocrisy of this issue. See, numbers and words are the most manipulated two things out there. So sometimes words are allowed to mean exactly what they say. Then other times they're allowed to be said in context. For example, I don't know this bit, Brenda Bick or whatever staff, but what she would most likely tell you is she is not inciting a riot. She is saying, calling out facts, saying these kind of things will lead to these sort of things, and I don't condone or incite. Now, I agree with you, so I'm not saying that's what I take my reading on, but that's what would get told to your face. Okay. Now, if that's true, and we disagree with that point, but if it is true, then how come other times, if someone says something like that, hint, I don't know, January 6th, then that is taken word for word? So we can't pick and choose when words mean what they say and when they are said in context, just like the whole numbers thing. And not to diverge, but the, you know, 22 cases of measles can't be astronomical, but 29 reactions to the vaccine can't be low. So people got to just quit picking and choosing when words and numbers mean what they want them to mean. They either all mean exactly what are said, or they can all be constant. You can't just decide who's bad.
And Ange, I got a lot of phone calls, and thank you for the phone call. Exactly. I mean, she threatened the results of issue 24 with a riot if they don't go her way. A riot is against the law. It's against the law. You can't do that. Dwight, you're in the air on WTAM 1100.
Hey, Trev, I think you took our words out of context. I think
okay.
What the lady was...
Go ahead.
I think what the lady was insinuating, that if this committee is informed, if issue 24 doesn't pass, if people don't get to oversee the police, they will run amok, and we'll have another incident where we'll have a Tamir Rice. The results from a Tamir Rice may be another riot in Cleveland. She doesn't sound capable of storming up a riot all by herself. She's just saying the results of the city will be a riot. Let's not be so narcissistic where we make it about...
Wait, Dwight, hold on. Let's play Brenda Bickerstaff's words. Take a listen.
So I'm going to leave here today to say we still got a long way to go. That's why we need this charter amendment to get that commission so we can get this under control. Because if it doesn't, I guarantee you it's going to be another riot in Cleveland.
She's saying issue 24 has to pass.
She's saying the results of issue 24 not passing will be no supervision of the police. They will continue to police themselves.
Dwight, if that's what you meant, that's what you would have said.
It sounds like you're cutting her off, Chris. It sounds
no,
like you're cutting
her short. That's exactly her words.
Well, it sounds like her words is cut off, man. Anybody who knows anything about issue 24 knows what she's insinuating.
All right. Thank you for the phone call. I mean, I guess that if you wanted to take it that way, you could take it that way, but that's not what I'm hearing from the soundbite that was provided. I mean, I'll play it one more time for you.
So I'm going to leave here today to say we still got a long way to go. That's why we need this charter amendment to get that commission so we can get this under control. Because if it doesn't, I guarantee you it's going to be another riot in Cleveland.
Yeah, if it doesn't, what is if it doesn't mean?
I believe she's saying then it's game on. There will be a riot.
No, if it doesn't, what does that mean?
That means people are going to act. If it's not, no.
If it doesn't, she says, that means if it doesn't pass.
Yeah, if it doesn't pass, exactly.
Yes.
And then people will take to the streets.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what are you telling the voters? You better go vote for this, or there's going to be a riot.
Or else.
That's not the way it works.
And I'm interpreting those comments exactly the way you are. Dwight obviously thought otherwise.
Well, let me go to Joe and Joseph in Cleveland. Joseph, you're in the air, Joseph.
Hello, Triv. I'm going to vote against issue 24. And I don't know what it means that, you know, we're going to riot. I moved out of the Ohio City area, and I moved in, I bought a house in Cleveland, in a neighborhood in Cleveland. And, you know, I'm not leaving this city, and there's not going to be a riot on my street. I got news for people. They're not going to riot. It's not going to happen. All right. These people, I don't know what she's promoting, but it's not going to happen. I don't know if Bibb's going to win. He may because the majority of Clevelanders are stupid. So he actually may win the mayoral race, but you're going to have a 15-year-old running the city, just like Dennis Kucinich, when he was elected mayor, ran the city into the ground.
All right, thank you for the phone call. Yeah, I mean, it's the people running the city, the people involved with the city, the people promoting the city. I mean, it's just really sad the quality of people we have there. It truly is. It truly is. It could be such a great city. I mean, whether you want to live there or not, that's fine, but look how many people visit the city of Cleveland. And that's what makes, not the people living in Cleveland, the people visiting in Cleveland is what stirs the economy. I don't think they understand that. I mean, there's less than 400,000 people that live in Cleveland. You know how many people visit the city of Cleveland? Whether it's for all the things that I just named, and I'm only naming part of them, whether it's the Indians, the Browns, the Cavs, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, the museums, the Cleveland Orchestra, Playhouse Square, the restaurants, the waterfront. You know how many people visit the city of Cleveland? Our phone numbers are 216-578-1100, 216-578-1111. Let me go to Cindy. Cindy, you're in the air, Cindy.
Hi, Mike. I wanted to first thank you for bringing this issue 24 up. I want to thank you for your wisdom, your understanding, you being just a normal guy. And I want to ask you also, please never retire. Never retire. You give me so much vital information. I really appreciate it. And able to share that then with other people. Now, about issue 24, my whole deal is whether this lady meant to issue a threat, which I believe she did, or if the other gentlemen that have been talking to you are right by trying to say, oh, gee willikers, she's just saying she doesn't want to have Seattle come to Cleveland. Gee, no way. Regardless, this issue 24 makes it for people or this committee. What, are we in Russia? I don't know. The committee run the police department, oversee the police department, and they're supposed to be regular Clevelanders that are not elected to the position that they will hold over our police officers? No way. Because you know as well as I do, those people will be plants. And I'm not some conspiracy theorist, but they will be the same kind of people that are like, hey, call into Trevisano today. You got to put our words across. You got to put it in there for issue 24. They are going to be plants that are going to be put in this board, and then they're going to be unelected. So we, the people, won't be able to do anything about it. The police officers will have to kowtow to them. And lastly, for the people who tell me that I've got no right as a woman who now has scraped and clawed to get an apartment in Chagrin Falls, I want you to know I lived in a portion of Shaker Heights at Shaker Square for many, many, many years when I would hear people screaming outside my window at 2 a.m. because they were getting molested. And I pray for our city of Cleveland, Ohio, because it's a great place. And I go down and I frequent down there still. So nobody tell me I don't like the town that I was born in at University Hospital at McDonald House. Don't do it, because people are coming in to our southern border, and you better believe there are going to be people with agendas, and they're not going to be American agendas. Now, I'll welcome them here. There ain't nothing I can do about it. But we've got a representative democracy.
All right, Cindy, I got a I got a bazillion phone calls. You've made your point. Thank you very much for the phone call. You made some excellent points. Excellent points. Let me get Charlie in before we go to news. Charlie, you're in the air. Charlie.
Hey, Trev. Hey, everybody.
Hey, Charlie.
Okay, so first of all, where's Merrick Garland and the FBI? When they want to go after and call concerned parents domestic terrorists, but here you have somebody that's actually inciting rioting and violence right in your face, and everybody's quiet all of a sudden, number one. Number two, Dwight said that this lady isn't saying that if she doesn't get her way that she's gonna that there's gonna be riots, which is what I heard. Dwight's saying that what she's saying is that if she doesn't get her way, then something's going to happen that's going to result in a riot. Isn't that the same damn thing?
It depends. Like I said, yeah, Charlie, it again, it depends on what your beliefs are, what you hear when you hear that Brenda Bickerstaff comments. It depends on what your beliefs are. I mean, you could. I'm Charlie, I got to go, and thank you for the phone call. Great point. Let me play it one more time for you.
So I'm going to leave here today to say we still got a long way to go. That's why we need this charter amendment to get that commission so we can get this under control. Because if it doesn't, I guarantee you it's going to be another riot in Cleveland.
That's why we need the charter amendment. That's issue 24. You need to vote for it. If not, there's going to be riots. I mean, what? Like Charlie said, no matter which way you want to spin it, she's promoting riots.
That's the way I
think about it. I mean, I don't know. Our phone number, I don't know how you can make it any clearer. But in today's day and age, like I said, whether it comes to the corona vaccine, the coronavirus itself, politics, police, I mean, people already have their mind made up, and they're going to hear what they want to hear. Even sometimes what they hear is not what they want to hear. Their mind turns it around in the saying, well, yeah, I'm hearing what I want to hear. Does that make any sense, son?
Yes, sir.
Not particularly, no. But it was a good effort.
All right, we'll be back. You know, too, if you're on the phone lines, hang on, because I want to mention this also. I was talking with David Mortosh just a little while ago, and they're doing the concert at Lorraine Palace November 10th. John Rich, or Bigger Rich, will be there November 10th. They're raising money for the Travis Mills Foundation. Great foundation. Travis was a soldier that lost both his arms and legs in Afghanistan. He's opened up a foundation to help other soldiers, a retreat, I should say. So John Rich will be singing there from Big and Rich. Great concert. It's going to be a great night. Max Soviak's parents will be there. Max is a soldier, that one of the 13 that got killed in Afghanistan August 26th. There's a woman from Pennsylvania coming that's made a portrait of the 13 soldiers, and she's going to be presenting it to Max Soviak's parents that night also. Travis Mills himself will be there. There'll be a meet and greet. Bernie Kosar will be there. And we had David on the other day. We'll have him on again tomorrow. A donor who wants to stay anonymous bought 200 tickets to the event. And he's going to give them to police officers, firemen, nurses, first responders. So if you're a first responder, nurse, fireman, police officer, you want free tickets to see John Rich of Big and Rich at the Lorraine Palace November 10th, along with Travis Mills and Bernie Kosar. Billy Morris will be singing there also that night, opening up for John Rich. Don't call us. The donor has bought 200 tickets, and you can get a pair of tickets by calling Dave Mortosh at 877-GAINS-4U, the number 4, the letter U. I'm sure if the lines are busy, just call back or leave a voicemail, however it works. But call them if you want 2 tickets free, thanks to a private donor who bought 200 tickets. 877-GAINS-4U. And David will give you the 2 tickets. Well, the donor actually is giving you the 2 tickets. So if you're a police officer, fireman, first responder, nurse, you have to be one of those, just not a business person like a talk show host. You have to be a police officer, a fireman, a nurse, or a first responder. Call now. 877-GAINS-4U. The word GAINS, the number 4, the letter U. 877-GAINS-4U. Let me go to Anthony in South Euclid. Anthony, you're in the air.
Hey, Mike, thanks for taking my call. Man, I heard your lady that called earlier about the crimes in Shaker Square. I didn't hear her ever say that she called and reported it. I hope she just failed to share that with us. That's the first thing. The second thing I want to say is I don't understand why everybody's so up in arms about a police reform or review, rather, not so much reform, but what could be so harmful about having a review board to kind of deal with those special cases
you where let, you got you let the police police themselves. And I don't understand what you mean by police reform when 99% of police stops go right.
I didn't mean to say reform. I meant to say police oversight.
Well, I think it's working very well, Anthony, when 99% of the stops go right.
But then if one goes wrong.
Yeah, if one goes wrong, it's called being, it's called, ask Alec Baldwin about something going wrong. It's called being a human being when something goes wrong.
Yeah. If there's one bad shooting.
One bad shooting, we should get rid of all the police. No, there's going to always be a bad. All right, thank you for the phone call. There's I can't hear echoing and everything, and I'm not going to argue with people over police reform today, okay? We need to let police do their job, because 99% of the time they do. There's millions of stops. There's a few that you hear throughout the year that have gone wrong.
Triv, upwards of 36 million on a
year. Whatever it is, okay? Yes. I mean, we don't need police reform. We need police to do their job and weed out the bad police when they make a mistake. Okay? Like the guy that knelt on George Floyd's neck. You have never heard me say head, neck, whatever. You have never heard me say that officer shouldn't have been punished. That was stupidity at its finest by a police officer. I've had police officers tell me that. That was stupidity. Guy got punished. Okay, so now we're going to reform the 99% that are doing their job right? Come on. This is a great country. You're trying to destroy it with police reform and a civilian group monitoring what the police does, like issue 24. It's a joke. It's literally a joke. In fact, I'd like to get issue 25 going. Let police do even more and hire more. Let's vote for issue 25. Is there such an issue?
I don't think so, no.
I'm not going to argue with people. It's a fact. There's millions of stops a year. And don't tell me, well, there's so many that go wrong. No, because the media would be all over them. They can't wait for a police mistake to report it. Not for the betterment of anything, but so they can get ratings. That's, you know, a grand slam in baseball? There's nothing better. Well, a no-hitter. You know a no-hitter in baseball? It don't get any better than a no-hitter. Right? Huh. Well, for the media, a police mistake is a no-hitter. They're reporting it not because they're concerned about people or any other reason. They're reporting it strictly, and that's why they pound it for ratings, ratings, ratings. Whether it's The View, whether it's a talk show host, whether it's a local media news station. They report those stories and they make sure they tell you the color of the skin of everybody involved. They don't say police officer and criminal. Right away, they make it racial. When 99 9/10% of the time, it's a criminal with a police officer. But it's never reported that way. That's a no-hitter, a grand slam for the media. Believe me, I'm in the business. I understand it. I know it. I understand the business. I've been in it for over 30 years. You want to talk about hypocrites? The media could be the biggest hypocritical group of people in the United States. You know, right away you think, well, they're interested. They want to bring this. No, they're looking for ratings, stories that bring ratings. And to elaborate on a story about the color of skin of people, you know, this country sometimes actually, when it comes to the racial, it really makes me laugh. We identify everybody now by the color of their skin. Yet, at the same time, they tell us we're a melting pot. Instead of looking at us as all Americans, they got to separate us all the time. And you fall for it, I fall for it, we all fall for it. The media causes more racism in this country than they prevent. Minorities know that, white people know that. Everybody knows it. That has some common sense. The media causes more racism for ratings then they, you know, they're trying to tell you talk shows, this, that, whatever it may be. It's a home run. It's a no-hitter.
Perfect game.
99% of the stops in this country, the police do their job. And now they got body cams, which is helping the police officer even more than the criminal. You know, when body cams first came out, I was so against them. And then as time went on, and I started talking to people and started talking to police officers and different people, body cams were the greatest thing ever invented for the police. Because 99% of the time, it shows they did their job. Where before, it was all hearsay. Now it's all on film. Are there police officers that make mistakes? Yes. Are there doctors that make mistakes? Yes. Are there talk show hosts that make mistakes? Yes. Are there actors who hate the police, like Alec Baldwin, who make mistakes? Yes, he just killed somebody. How's that for a mistake? And it wasn't even a police stop that had to do with a crime or anything. Alec Baldwin just killed, flat out killed somebody. Mistake. This is, I don't know how many times I have to make the point. I've been telling you for years. Human beings make mistakes. Police officers, no matter what you do, are going to make mistakes. But they make very few. And most of them do their job. And if we want a safe country, you better let them do their job. And the mistakes will be dealt with. But don't let the mistakes stop them from doing their job. Then nobody's safe. No area is safe. You think the criminals are stupid? The criminals are sharp people. Don't forget, they're professionals in their line of work. That's another thing that people forget. My God. I mean, you want a safe place for your kids, your grandkids, yourself? And you want issue 24 to pass? And you want to take power from the police? Get the hell out of here. Somebody just texted in the 21095, brought to you by Absolute Roofing. Body cams reduce citizen complaints by 85%. Yeah, no kidding. The body cams were the greatest things that ever happened, the greatest thing that ever happened to the police. It shows that 99% of the time they're right. Somebody texted in, did you ever hear a news person make mistakes during the news? Yes. You ever hear a talk show host like myself? Yes. It's called being a human being. But there are people out there that think the police are going to be 100%. No human being is 100% accurate in their occupation. Nobody. It's impossible. You have to be Jesus Christ. And then if you're an atheist, then there's absolutely nobody. My God. And then look at all the mistakes that are made, okay? I'm not talking about police, just mistakes by human beings, whether it's doctors or talk show hosts, whatever occupation. Look at all the mistakes that are made. Construction. Most of the time, you got a bunch of time to make up your mind. And humans still make mistakes. A police officer has a second or two to make up his or her mind. My God. Don't forget, if you want to go see the John Rich concert, November 10th, a donor who wants to stay anonymous has bought 200 tickets. If you're a police officer, fireman, nurse, first responder, and you want to go free November 10th to see John Rich, Bernie Kosar, Travis Mills, Billy Morris, at the Lorraine Palace. You can get two free tickets by calling 877-GAINS-4U, the number four, the letter U. 877-GAINS-4U. Let me go to Dave in Cleveland. Dave, you're in the air, Dave.
Hey, Tripp, how you doing?
Good, Dave.
My brother's been a policeman for 25 years in Richmond Heights. When all this stuff started, everything going bad, his best words I ever heard, you think we wake up in the morning hoping to shoot somebody? You know that changes somebody's life for the rest of their lives? And then, what about my buddy Greg Skernovich, Cleveland policeman, gunned down last year by some thugs in the neighborhood doing an undercover deal? The kid's getting 6 years in prison. Is anybody writing or doing anything about that?
Well, you know,
there's bad people in every profession. There's bad football players, basketball players, sports, everything. Everybody that's a policeman's not a good person. It's our job to weed them out, and that's what they do. When somebody makes a mistake, they're taken care of.
Do you know, so, and thank you for the phone call, do you know that we've had 59, and this comes from a federal website, we've had 59 police officers killed in the line of duty so far this year?
Shame. Last year, what was it?
What are we doing about that?
Exactly. People should be protesting.
Who are we suing? Are we taking rights away from criminals, or are we giving criminals more rights? They've killed 59 police officers this year in the line of duty so far in this country. 59. Ed, you're in the air, Ed.
Hey, Tripp. Great show. And live in Canton, so no, we don't come to Cleveland a lot, but I would like to think that I'm safe when I go to see a ball game or take my family up there. But I think you're overreacting because last summer we had peaceful protests all over the country that were burning down buildings and tearing up cities. And so obviously she can't mean a riot. She has to mean a peaceful protest, don't you think?
Well, but she didn't say peaceful protest.
No, I know. No. I know. Yeah. I think it's totally crazy, but that's what they call that's what they call a peaceful protest now is, you know, you can have a riot and you can burn places down and you can shoot people, but it's all peaceful.
Yeah. I mean, and thank you for the phone call. I just wonder what business owners in Cleveland think when they hear that type of talk. Well, if this doesn't happen and that doesn't happen, there'll be riots. What do you think as a business owner when you hear that?
And they've been thinking it since Saturday, May 30th of 2020, when their businesses were ravaged. They've been on guard ever since.
I mean, who in the hell wants to live in Cleveland, go to Cleveland? I mean, if that's the type of thinking that's going to be running Cleveland.
Sure, I had a friend of mine, his daughter lives down there, and the day of that riot, she was fearful to take her dog out for literally a day and a half after that riot.
Well, of course.
Yeah, I mean, I don't blame her.
Well, yeah, no kidding.
You couldn't
really
get me.
Yes, of course. I mean, they smashed everything down there.
Euclid Avenue was a disaster. East 4th was
except for Corbo's Bakery.
Yes, we know why.
Let me go to, I got to go to news. If you're on the phone line, hang on. I apologize. Don't forget, if you're a police officer, if you're a nurse, if you're a fireman, if you're a first responder, and you want to go to the November 10th concert, Dave Mortesh just called me. There's a donor that bought 200 tickets. God bless him or her. Bought 200 tickets, and you can get two free. Just continue to call. I don't know if you leave a message or you get a busy signal or whatever. Just continue to call if you want two tickets to the November 10th Lorraine Palace concert benefiting Travis Mills Foundation. John Rich from Big and Rich will be singing. Travis himself will be there. It'll be a meet and greet. Bernie Kosar will be there. Billy Morris will be singing also there. Max Soviak's parents will be there. It's going to be a great night. You can get two tickets by calling now, 877-GAINS-4-U, the number four, the letter U, the word GAINS. 877-GAINS-4-U. I presume you're going to get a busy signal, so continue to call back. 877-GAINS-4-U if you want those two free tickets. Now, this is not for anybody, and they're going to check, okay? You have to be a police officer, you have to be a fireman, a nurse, or a first responder. Please. 877-GAINS-4-U if you want two free tickets. God bless you, donor, whoever you are. He doesn't want anybody to know, but God bless you and thank you. Here's Julie with the news.
Thank you, Trev. A jury has cleared an 83-year-old man in the killing of his wife in Cleveland after he spent decades in prison. Isaiah Andrews was convicted of killing his wife in 1974, and he has spent 45 years in prison. He was awarded a new trial after it was discovered investigators in the case didn't tell the first jury about another possible suspect. The Cleveland Guardians roller derby is suing Cleveland Guardians Baseball Company, LLC, saying the two teams cannot have the same name. A lawsuit states the roller derby team has been using the Guardians name for the past 7 years. Cleveland State has announced a broadcast partnership with iHeartMedia, so 1350 The Gambler will now serve as a flagship station for Cleveland State's men's basketball, with streaming availability for all contests and select games on WTAM 1100. The National Retail Federation says this upcoming holiday sales season could break records. Sales predicted could be as high as $859 billion, which means growth could top 10%. Last year's sales grew by just over 8% and came in at $777.3 billion. Your traffic and weather is together mornings and afternoons. Here's Olivia.
From the Elk and Oak Traffic Center, if an auto accident caused you injury, call 1-800-ELK-OHIO. Traffic slow on 90 West between Dead Man's Curve and Carnegie Avenue. Also an accident 77 North before 271. If you spot a problem, let us know on the traffic tip line, 216-986-8888. This report is sponsored by News Nation.
All too often, the media are ignoring the everyday heroics of our policemen and women. Well, that changes on News Nation. Dan Abrams and his live PD sidekick, Styx, are back in prime time on Dan Abrams Live, weeknights at 8, 7 Central on News Nation.
Olivia Musica, WTAM Traffic at 1100 AM and 106.9 FM.
In your 3 News weather today, we saw overcast skies. We topped out in the 50s for tonight, partly cloudy, low of 46. And for your Thursday, a mix of clouds and sun, a little warmer, highs in the upper 60s. I'm Julie Holliday. Your next news is at the top of the hour and anytime on Facebook or Twitter at WTAM 1100.
All right, our phone numbers are 216-578-1100, 216-578-1111. Let me go to Jack in Cleveland. Jack, you're in the air.
Hello.
Hello, Jack.
How are you today?
Good.
Let me comment, just because I heard as I was on hold, I'm a small business owner, and we had an attempted break-in in my place last week. Verified break-in where they tried to come through the ceiling. So my alarm company called, of course, alarm tripped. I told them where the police. I called the next day to follow up because I did not hear from the police. The police told me they need a confirmed instance of inside and a confirmed instance of outside before they'll send the police. So that's the new threshold to protect businesses around town, is confirmed instance inside, confirmed instance outside before they will respond to an alarm. So that's interesting point, as we were talking about how business owners feel. I didn't feel so great about that. Now there's cameras all over the place, so I'll have my own say in those things.
It's only going to get worse. If you could take me off the speakerphone, I would be really appreciated, because you're having a hard time. I'm having a hard time hearing you.
All right, I'm talking on the phone. Let me shift it upwards a little bit. Maybe that'll be a little bit better for you.
Yeah, a little bit. Go ahead.
Okay. Now, another interesting point is driving the road, the people that seem to have the most issue with the police are the people that are interacting with the police. Now, I know if I'm going 85, 90 down the road, as I've often heard you complain about the speeding drivers, I know that my probability of having an interaction with the police is going to be greater than if I'm driving the speed limit. So in our minds and in our conscious, we're aware if we're going outside the bounds of the law, it's a possibility that we're going to run into the police. So if we don't want to have the interactions and don't want to have the instances of dealing with them, we should try to stay in the laws. Now, the call screener, his response, which was appropriate, he said, well, I know what you're saying, and people are going to say that they're being profiled and so on and so on. But for 18 years of driving up and down 271 twice a day, I can tell who's driving the car just by the mannerisms of their driving or even the car. And if you see a car and there's crap hanging off of it or this or that, they're more likely to get pulled over and have an interaction with the police than the person that does not have something hanging or dangling. Or if they're swerving lane to lane because they're texting, more than likely that's going to stick out to a cop, and the cop is going to want to see why they're having an issue maintaining their lane versus the person that is driving straight.
Yeah, well, I mean, yes, and I agree, and thank you for the phone call. I mean, people are really lucky today. I see so many cars and trucks that have no business being on the road that years ago they would be pulled over, and I don't know if they gave you a ticket, but they towed the vehicle because the vehicle was not safe to be on the roads. I mean, it's absolutely crazy. And the way people drive today, it's absolutely crazy. I was thinking about this when the last caller was bringing up his points that, I mean, other than a speeding ticket, I mean, I don't get it. I haven't had interactions with a police officer in decades, other than me breaking the law by speeding.
The vast majority of us.
I guess my point is, who's having all the interactions with police?
The criminals.
Criminals.
Yes.
What is so difficult to figure out here?
And if you do have an interaction with a police officer, obey his or her command and everything will be all right.
Yeah. Stop. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Get out of the car. Okay. Put your hands up. Okay. Don't reach in your pockets or your jacket. Okay. I don't understand what is so difficult.
It's not at the end of the day. It's not. One rule, follow all commands.
Police officer pulled me over. I was speeding last time. I don't remember. It's been years now. Police officer pulled me over for speeding. He walks up to the car. I got my hands on the steering wheel. He said, can I see your driver's license and your registration and proof of insurance? What is that against my rights or something? I said, it's in my pocket in the console. He says, okay, get it. I reach in my pocket, I hand it to him. Said you were doing 75 and a 60. I said, yeah. Once in a while, I say, well, I was trying to get around that truck. Whatever. You make an excuse. All right, I got to give you a ticket. Okay. Goes back to his car, writes a ticket, comes up to me. I still got my hands on the steering wheel. He hands me the ticket. I go, okay, see ya. Bye.
No issues, no problems.
What's the problem?
You complied. You obeyed. None.
What is the problem?
No problem there, my friend.
Now, if you stop a criminal that's got a warrant out for his or her arrest, you might have a problem, the police officer, with that person. But who caused the problem?
The criminal. The person with the warrant.
I don't know. It is such a messed up situation. And then here, I mean, you better get off your ass and do something. You better start to organize, not riot, organize. Peacefully. Because people don't want to be policemen anymore, men or women, in the numbers that they once were. So if we can't, you know, like you're hearing about restaurants or fast food places or box stores or this type of business shutting down because they can't get employees. Do you realize what happens to society if we can't get enough police? Wow. We're going to shut down society. Yeah. You know that, right?
Yes, sir.
Are you that stupid that you don't understand that?
Triff,
so when you talk about defunding the police or issue 24s, having civilians control police departments and stuff like that, think about what you're asking for there. You're asking for the shutdown of a business. Police departments are having a hard time getting police officers. Would you want to be a cop today?
Absolutely not. Triv, you know what's going on in Chicago? Typically, on a yearly basis, for their police academy, they'd have 30,000 applications. You know how many had this last class?
Five.
5,000. 5,000. Do you blame the young men and women out there?
So instead of shutting down businesses, we're going to be shutting down society pretty soon if you don't start paying attention out there.
That's true.
Defund the police.
No,
have a civilian group oversee a police department.
Defend the police, not defund.
Are you kidding me? I mean, the city of Cleveland's already a joke. You want to make it even a bigger joke. I mean, the only people who want to go to the city of Cleveland are somebody who wants to get drunk or get laid.
Seth. I'll see you there Friday.
Seth, yes. Attaboy.
And you want people to live there. Who is going to live there and raise a family? Move into Cleveland.
Not I.
I mean, really, it's absolutely horrible. And I feel sorry for the people that can't get out of there, that do want to get out of there. Here's Olivia with traffic.
From the Elk and Elk Traffic Center, if an auto accident caused you injury, call 1-800-ELK-OHIO. Watch for accidents 77 North before 271 on the Jennings North after Harvard Denison. Also, Carnegie Avenue at East 22nd. Traffic slow 480 West between 422 and Lee. Also, 90 West between Dead Man's Curve and Carnegie Avenue. This report is sponsored by News Nation.
All too often, the media are ignoring the everyday heroics of our policemen and women. Well, that changes on News Nation. Dan Abrams and his live PD sidekick, Sticks, are back in prime time on Dan Abrams Live. Weeknights at 8, 7 Central on News Nation.
Olivia Musica, WTAM Traffic at 1100 AM and 106.9 FM.
Highs today in the 50s, tonight partly cloudy. The overnight low will be in the 40s. And for your Thursday, mostly cloudy skies, a little warmer. Highs in the mid to upper 60s.
You know, and then like I said earlier in the show, it amazes me because, okay, I don't live in Cleveland, but I visit Cleveland. You don't live in Cleveland, but you visit Cleveland. You want it out of control? When you go to a Browns game, an Indians game, a Cavs game? You go to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Playhouse Square, museums, one of the hospitals, one of the restaurants. You want it out of control? So it even concerns you, even though you don't live there. Because I'm sure that most people, what about the casino? You know, a lot of people go to Cleveland. They might not live there, but they go there. You don't want it safe? I mean, it's all I'm doing is asking you a question.
I'm just asking you a question.
Let me go to Steve in Strongsville. Steve, you're in the air, Steve.
Hey there, Trip. I wanted to point out every person who's ever done anything illegal, there's a criminal, knows full in advance they've already thought out what they're going to do in case they...
Hey, you can't swear. He said the S word. It just slipped, I think, right?
Yes, that slipped. Yes, that slipped.
It's amazing how that word slips with callers. Over the years, I've probably dumped 300. It's more than that, probably, of people that said the S word accidentally.
Yes.
Really didn't mean to say it.
Yes.
But they were fired up in their conversation, and it just slips out, you know?
Yeah. No, or a-hole. That one slips out often.
Hey, I'm Mike Trevisano for Mortosh Financial. Retirement wealth planning at its finest. David's been doing it for over 2 decades, helping people with their retirement money. You can call them 877-GAINS-4U, the number for the letter U. Fixed indexed annuities. When the market goes up, you make money. When it goes down, you don't lose any money. So that fits your style with your retirement money. Not only are you making money on your retirement money, but you have peace of mind that you're not going to lose money. And it even these fixed indexed annuities avoid probate court. Call David, 877-GAINS-4U, the number four, the letter U. Or go to MortoshFinancial.com. Oh, by the way, the big concert, November 10th at the Lorraine Palace, raising money for the Travis Mills Foundation. Travis Mills is a soldier that lost both arms and legs, and he has a retreat in Maine. And Dave Mortosh is putting on a big concert November 10th at the Lorraine Palace. John Rich of Big and Rich will be singing there. Billy Morris will also be opening for John Rich. Travis Mills will be there himself, the soldier that lost both arms and legs. There'll be a meet and greet with Travis. Bernie Kosar will be there. There'll be a meet and greet with Bernie Kosar. If you're a police officer, now listen to me closely. A fireman, a first responder, or a nurse, a private donor has purchased 200 tickets to give to police officers, firemen, first responders, and nurses. You want a couple of tickets? All you got to do, free. For November 10th at the Lorraine Palace to see John Rich of Big and Rich benefiting Travis Mills Foundation. Call now, 877-GAINS-4U. Private donor wants to stay private. You just call 877, the word GAINS, the number 4, the letter U. Someone will answer the phone eventually. Be patient. And you'll get 2 tickets to the November 10th concert at the Lorraine Palace free. But you got to be a police officer, a fireman, a nurse, or a first responder. And they will verify that. So call 877-GAINS-4U if you're a police officer, a fireman, a nurse, or a first responder. And while those tickets last, I heard they're going fast. So you get a busy signal, or you got to hold on, be patient. 877-GAINS-4U, the number 4, the letter U, the word GAINS. 877-GAINS-4U. God bless you, donor. Honoring policemen, firemen, nurses, and first responders by giving them 2 free tickets to the November 10th John Rich concert at the Lorraine Palace benefiting Travis Mills Foundation. We'll be back after the news. So what happens to a police officer when they make a mistake and shoot somebody?
Well, they're put on paid administrative leave while it's investigated.
Now what happens?
Typically, they are cleared. It was justified.
No, I'm saying if it's not justified.
If it's not justified, they will face charges. Ranging anywhere.
Right?
Yes. Yep.
Okay, so a police officer makes a mistake and shoots somebody, and it's not justified. The police officer made a mistake, right?
Yes. Well,
he or
no.
He or she will go to court.
Yes.
And probably go to jail.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
What about Alec Baldwin?
Well, you know how that's going to end.
What are you giggling for?
I don't think Alec Baldwin is going to face any charges.
Why not?
Because, unfortunately, he's Alec Baldwin. What did you say? So
an actor can make a mistake.
Yes.
But a police officer can't.
Yeah, you you have always said that the justice...
No. So an actor can make a mistake and get off?
Yes.
He killed somebody?
Yes. But police
can't. But a police officer can't?
Correct.
Hmm.
Something to ponder.
Hmm. So Alec Baldwin isn't going to get charged with murder?
We don't know that quite yet. It's still under investigation. There's a possibility. I would highly doubt it.
Has he lost his job?
No.
Has he been suspended?
No.
But a police officer would have been.
Yes. Would have been taken off the job. Put on leave.
I wonder how people will defend that one.
It'd be interesting to see now, won't it?
Vince, you're in the air, Vince.
Yeah, Mike. I just wanted to say I agree. You shouldn't have to shut up. You know, this is still America for the time being anyway. But at the same time, you know, you in effect tell your listeners to shut up.
Okay, Vince, when I tell a listener shut up, it's not because the listener disagrees with me. It's because the listener isn't making any sense. That's my opinion, and I run this talk show. It's my talk show. So I can't go to a board and a committee and find out what they think before I tell a listener to shut up or not. That's my judgment. When they're not making any sense, and I'll give you an example sooner or later, maybe even before the day is over, with a caller that's not making any sense. And then I'll remember and I'll refer to you, Vince. Vince, here, this is what I mean. In other words, I'm not telling you to shut up. You asked a legitimate question. I gave you a legitimate answer.
Yeah, I know, but to give you an example,
yes.
A few months ago, I called you. Mm-hmm. I disagree with you. I was about to make my point, and you hung up on me.
I'd have to know the whole circumstances, what led to it, what you said, what I said, how you responded, how I responded. I'd have to know everything. You're not giving me enough information there.
Okay. I disagree with you about that incident with Rudolph and, Garrett. You know, and before I could give you an example or provide an explanation of my position, you hung up on me.
When Miles Garrett...
Yeah.
Could have actually killed that kid with the helmet?
Well, let's
and you were defending Miles Garrett?
Well, let me respond.
Yes.
We both know that Rudolph had zero to no chance of getting his helmet back from Miles Garrett. He could have waited patiently, the officials would have got his helmet back, you know, and that would have been it. And that's the point I wanted to make.
Well, here, there's a thing called in law equal response. I mean, anybody can defend themselves in an argument and stuff like that, but it has to be an equal response. In other words, if you push me, I can't pull out my gun and shoot you and kill you.
Right, right.
But I could push you back. You follow what I'm saying?
Right.
And then whatever happens after that happens after that. With Miles Garrett swinging that helmet with a guy that didn't have a helmet on, and almost if he hits him in the head, he kills him. He could have killed him.
Okay.
Miles Garrett got suspended for that because it was not an equal response. If they would have pushed each other, they would have got a 15-yard penalty. If they would have punched each other, they would have got a 15-yard penalty and thrown out of the game. But they wouldn't have got thrown out of the league like Miles Garrett did.
Well, Mike, I'm sure Garrett got paid for the rest of the season because the NFL understood. If Rudolph had stood down and let the officials handle it, because me and you both know that, you know, going one-on-one, Rudolph, you'd bet
all your money.
Vince, I don't want to spend it. Thank you for the phone call, Vince. I'm not going to spend any time on defending Myles Garrett there. I mean, if they would have fought, but he attacked them with a deadly weapon. Do you understand that? Let me take a helmet, an NFL helmet. I don't know the last time you've seen an NFL helmet or touched one. Buy the face mask and smash you in the head. Let alone Myles Garrett. Let me do it to you. You got a 50-50 chance of not making it. As far as your life goes, I'm talking about. A 50-50 chance. How can you possibly defend Myles Garrett? Stuff happens in football. There's fights all the time in football. But a fight is a fight is a fight is a fight. But when you take a deadly weapon and try to smush somebody's head, that's taking it to the next degree. And I don't know how you possibly could defend that. Again, this goes back to what I say, and I probably do it myself. I'll admit that. You can give me an example when I do it. But it is unbelievable how people will defend people that are just blatantly guilty of something. But people will defend that person for whatever reason it may be. True. I mean, I just don't get it sometimes with people.
Was it you that said you were talking to somebody? You guys were discussing Kareem Hunt and the girl being kicked?
Oh, yeah, that's a great one.
And what did your buddy say, or whoever it was you were speaking to?
We talked about Kareem Hunt kicking the girl in the head. And the guy said to me, he goes, yeah, but what did she say to him?
Okay.
Like he was trying to justify her getting kicked in the head by saying to me, well, yeah, but what did she say to him? I mean, I just don't, that's not ignorance. It's just lack of common sense, or I don't know what it is. I really don't.
I'd say stupidity, ignorance.
If I was running the NFL, if I was the dictator of the NFL, Myles Garrett would have never played another game in the NFL. I would have made an example out of him. Because you cannot have that.
What if that was on the street, Triff?
Well, you would get charged with the assault with a deadly weapon.
Yes. But because it was in...
And then, see, you got somebody texting in right now. I don't know if the person's just kidding or not. I really don't care because I love the texters, even the negative ones. Says, Triff, you're an idiot. What am I an idiot about? The guy attacks somebody. Wait, just think if a baseball player did that with a baseball bat.
I remember Roseboro and Marischal.
You should be gone.
Understood.
There's no difference between a baseball bat and an NFL football helmet.
That's an assault with a potentially deadly
except
weapon.
The shape of the two.
Yes.
It is amazing. And the guy that probably texted in and said, you're an idiot, Triv, is probably a Duff football fan. You know... To Duff football fan, football players, Cleveland Browns can't do anything wrong. You know, it's amazing. It is literally amazing to me. It's like the media in the town and the talk show hosts in this town. I mean, they're so ignorant, it's unbelievable. I'm so glad I grew up with Pete Franklin compared to what you have to listen to today. Since 95, the Indians went to 3 World Series. Did they win any? No. No, they didn't win any at all. But they went to 3 World Series. 95, 97, 2016, and 2007, in my opinion, was still the best shot they had. But anyway, they went to 3 World Series. With the Cleveland Browns football team, you got one of the worst organizations in the history of football. And you tell me it's a football town?
You're right.
You tell me it's a football town? You want to tell me about the Browns organization? I mean, I don't get it. And they and then the Indians get crucified.
And the Dolans are cheap.
Yeah, the and that's the other one. The Dolans are cheap, but where there's no salary cap in baseball.
Yes.
There's a salary cap in football. Haslam, the owner of the Cleveland Browns, was a 80 to 100 million under the salary cap for 5 years.
Yes, he was.
Under.
Mm-hmm.
But there's never no word of him being cheap.
See, and that's where that whole ceiling floor comes in, or the floor, a salary floor. If you're going to have a salary cap, you know, I mean, you should. And Terry Francona.
Never no talk of him being cheap.
No.
But the Dolans are cheap. And the Dolans have been the three, well, the Dolans haven't been, but the Indians have been the three World Series. But they're cheap. But the Browns aren't cheap. That's the football fan. I mean, a lot of times, going back to Vince, the last caller, when I tell somebody to shut up, would be somebody now that would call me and argue that with me. I'm not going to argue nonsense. I'm not going to argue facts. The Browns are an embarrassment as an organization. Now, they might go to the Super Bowl and win it this year and erase all that. You're not going to erase all of it, but you'll erase a lot of it by winning a championship, that's for sure. That could happen, yes. But as of right now, other than the Lions, the Browns are the worst organization maybe in all of sports.
That can't be disputed.
And then the Dolans are cheap, but Haslam, $100 million under the cap, he's not cheap. I mean, when's the last time you heard somebody call up? I mean, every week we have somebody call up and tell me the Dolans are cheap, right?
Yeah, that's a fair assessment.
When's the last time somebody called up and said Haslam was cheap?
Never.
And that's a guy that makes cheap look cheap. Being $100 million under the cap.
For at least four straight years.
Somebody said, just text in. The 21095 brought to you by Absolute Roofing. I'll add a little to it, the text, but not much. He said, basically, do you think Baker Mayfield would beat Tom Brady this year? Could you imagine if the Browns go to the Super Bowl this year and Tampa goes to the Super Bowl and Baker Mayfield beats Tom Brady in the Super Bowl?
He'll get his $40
million. Could you even imagine that? I wonder what the wonder if Vegas has odds on that. Is there any odds people out there? What would the odds be on that? And the odds should be pretty good on the Brown side because Tom Brady is like approaching Social Security age.
Yes, he is. He's 18 years away.
I mean, if you can't beat Brady now, when are you going to beat Brady?
Exactly.
When he's 50?
And he may play till that age, too.
The guy's going to be 45 years old.
Yes. What would the taking us make an estimate, Triff? 500 to 1.
Wait a minute. Somebody, hold on. Hold that thought. Somebody just texted. I don't know if this is true or not. Maybe you could look it up. Maybe you know, or I don't know. Haslam charges $100 to get on the season ticket waiting list. There's no season ticket waiting list for the Browns. They don't have. What is capacity? 68,000 now?
Yeah, 67,000, 68,000.
There's no 68,000 season ticket holders. Hold I'm positive of that, no?
Hold on 1 second. The Browns apparently do have a wait list.
So then they only sell a certain amount of season tickets because there can't be 68,000 season ticket holders.
Yeah, I'm on the website right now. It says, not on the wait list. Get in line for your chance to be a season ticket member. Now let me see if there indeed is a charge. I got to open it up.
Let me go to Chris in Sandusky. Chris, you're in the air, Chris.
Hey, Triv, you know a lot about baseball. It's one of the most frustrating things in the world to me as to why Major League Baseball continues to go along without some sort of salary cap. And the Yankees and the Dodgers can spend whatever they want to spend. And Chris, smaller market teams just can't compete. Why is that?
It's a very simple answer. Okay, the owners have to pass the salary cap, right?
All right.
You own the Los Angeles Dodgers. I own the New York Yankees, the two most probably highest profitable franchises in Major League Baseball. Highest revenue, that's for sure. The Dodgers and the Yankees, okay, with advertising and tickets and everything that goes on to that, right? Okay, you got that? You own the Dodgers, I own the Yankees. They want us to vote. Are you and me going to split our revenue with Detroit and Cleveland?
Actually, I think for the good of the game, I would absolutely be in favor of some sort of revenue share.
I get that. But wait a minute. What about the good of your base, your business, your baseball team?
I get it. It would devalue the franchise a little bit.
Yes.
Maybe. But the popularity of the game would increase to a point where maybe the values of the teams go up.
Possibility.
Baseball's going to lose. They're going to lose the fan base if they continue on allowing the Yankees and the Dodgers to spend $250 million when the Indians spend $50 if we're lucky.
Well, that's
there's just
true.
No way to
in 2016 or 17, we had over $150 million payroll. The Cleveland Indians.
Correct.
So, I mean, they will take their shots in spending money when they think they can win it all. They will do that. So, I got to move here, Chris, but thank you for the phone call. It's just very simple. You're just not going to get owners of the Dodgers, owners of Houston now, unbelievable city as far as population, New York, Boston. They're not going to split their revenue with Detroit, Tampa, and Cleveland. And, you know, I don't like it. I wish there was a salary cap. But like Terry Francona told me when I brought it up, he wants a salary a floor also. You have to spend X amount of dollars. So say the salary cap's $200 million. Each year, if you want a salary cap of $200 million, you got to spend at least $80, $90 million. You can't go below that. So there's two caps. There's a lower cap and a higher cap. You got to stay somewhere in between them. That's what Francona says they should have. But it's a perfect example. I own a McDonald's in a highly populated area here in Northeast Ohio. You pick the area. You own a McDonald's out in the country somewhere. I do 10 times the business you do. You want me to share my revenue with you?
No, that ain't happening.
Now, for the betterment of the sport in baseball, I understand it. But how is Tampa Bay competing? Because their payroll is very low. How is the Cleveland Indians always competing? I mean, it's the first year we weren't in the playoffs for what, the last 8 years or something?
It's been a while.
How come they're competing? So it can be done. Cleveland proves it. Tampa Bay proves it. We even made it to a World Series in 2016. So it can be done. I mean, if it wasn't for drones and all the injuries, we win that World Series. I know if and buts were candy and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas. I get that. But we were there. Seventh game of the World Series without a salary cap. Tampa Bay was there last year.
Yeah, they were.
Without a salary cap. So, I mean, I don't know. But if you own the business, believe me, if you own the Yankees or the Dodgers, you're not sharing your revenue with Cleveland and Tampa Bay. You're not doing it. Well, people would say to you, yeah, but it's for the betterment of the league. Okay, give me some money then. Make up the difference. Because I'm not sharing my revenue. I take in $1 billion a year. Those teams only take in $300 million a year. Make up the $700 million difference. I mean, it's difficult. And baseball, I hate to tell you this, like the NFL and the NBA with a salary cap, that goes against everything America stands for. You know that, right?
Yeah.
That's socialism. That's communism. Baseball is, that's why they tell you it's the true American sport. They're not telling you how much you can make. Go out and do something and win and progress and better yourself. That's the American way. Not the NBA and the NFL, where there's salary caps, you can only spend so much. Why don't we do that with all businesses then? Revenue sharing. Ask Amazon if they want to do revenue sharing.
Jeff Bezos will have none of that.
Go ahead, ask him.
I'll
Here's Julie with the news. Come on, email him, ask him.
Ohio Attorney General Dave Yost is warning parents and trick-or-treaters about marijuana edibles made to look like popular snack foods and candy. And officials say to check labels thoroughly and to throw away any loose or unsealed candy or items given in plastic or Ziploc bags. The Ohio School Board Association is cutting ties with the National School Board Association after it asked for federal intervention. The OSBA said it values parental and community discussion at school board meetings, and any threats should be handled at the local level, not by federal authorities. Bay Village police say DNA evidence could help solve the cold case killing of Amy Mihaljevic, the 10-year-old girl that went missing 32 years ago today. She was found stabbed to death later in a field in Ashland County, and police are urging the public to focus on a curtain that was found close to her body. It may be recognizable to someone out there and to contact them. As the first COVID vaccine for young children is getting closer to being approved, parents may be worrying as to whether their child should be vaccinated. And Dr. Shelley Senders, a pediatrician in South Euclid, she's been involved with trials of vaccine. And pardon me, he told 3 News there are obviously pros and cons parents should consider.
Does COVID cause problems for most children? The answer is no. But tell that to the parents of the children who are fighting for their lives as we speak.
Your traffic and weather is together mornings and afternoons. Here's Olivia.
From the Elk and Elk Traffic Center, if an auto accident caused you injury, call 1-800-ELK-OHIO. An accident cleared on the Jennings North after Harvard Denison. Your stop and go 480 West between West 130th and 71. In that slowdown, you have an accident reported. Watch for accidents. Carnegie Avenue at East 22nd, Cedar at Richmond. An accident Columbia north of Lorraine, also State south of Brook Park, and Rocky River Drive over Munn Road. This report is sponsored by GanleyAuto.com.
Are you thinking about selling your current car, truck, or SUV? Ganley, Ohio's number one automotive retailer, wants to buy it. Bring it to any Ganley Auto Store and get a free, no-obligation offer to buy it today. Visit GanleyAuto.com.
Olivia Musica, WTAM Traffic at 1100 AM and 106.9 FM.
The 3 News weather tonight, partly cloudy, a low of 46 for your Thursday, a mix of sun and clouds, a little warmer. Highs will be in the upper 60s. I'm Julie Holliday. Your next news is at the top of the hour right here on WTAM 1100.
You know, a very good text that came in, the 21095, brought to you by Absolute Roofing. Very good text. Baseball is a monopoly and not part of the capitalist system. There should be revenue sharing and public and private ownership, especially, now this is what really makes the text good, especially if stadiums are purchased and maintained. What he forgot is by taxpayers and cities.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the one thing that really kills me. I mean, you open up a barber shop. The taxpayers don't pay for your barbershop and the upkeep of it.
No, they don't. Something wrong with the plumbing? Guess what? It's on you.
You know, that's what kills me about sports, whether it's baseball, basketball, or football. Why in the hell should we? Then you want to make the stadiums beautiful and do all the upgrading of the arena, the Brown Stadium, and the baseball field. And it's not safe to go downtown.
Another layer to that onion.
You want to fool around with the cops? Unbelievable. I don't know how this thinking ever occurred in this country and how we got to this point. I really don't. It's like crazy to me. You got Baker Mayfield, a good quarterback. That's about the adjective I would use. He's good. There's nothing wrong with Baker Mayfield. You put the right talent around Baker Mayfield, he's not going to lead you to a Super Bowl, but he'll manage the talent around him. He's good enough to take you to a Super Bowl. So you got an average quarterback, a little above average, a little bit. Going to make $35 million, and us taxpayers are going to pay for the upkeep of the stadium and build the stadium. That a guy's playing and making $35 million. And you're making $50,000-$60,000 a year. Can you tell me how that makes sense?
It makes none.
I mean, I would listen if somebody wouldn't want to explain that to me. Well, but look at all the revenue that the Browns, the Indians, and the Cavs bring to downtown Cleveland. Okay, so let's hire more police with that revenue.
Yeah, you got him on that one.
Let's do that. Let's make downtown safer so we can enjoy downtown. And oh, by the way, when we hire police, not like issue 24, let's let the police do their job. And when a police officer makes a mistake, we weed out the bad police. You know, me personally, though, I would have a hard time if I was on a jury convicting a police officer of making a mistake. Now, in the George Floyd situation, if I was on that jury, yeah, that police officer was totally wrong. You know, that's when I would tell somebody, if somebody wanted to argue that with me, I would tell them to shut up. Well, the guy, George Floyd, was a criminal. Yeah, you don't kneel on his neck for a half hour.
That was disgusting.
I mean, that's just stupidity. Stupidity. So you weed out police officers like that. Just like you weed out bad doctors. You would hope, right?
Yeah.
Any profession, you would hope. Of course, today it's pretty hard to fire somebody, even when they're no good.
Carmen.
There it is, yes.
Oh, it's, thanks, boys.
Well, it's not that Carmen is no good. He just doesn't pay attention.
Right.
He doesn't have the mental capacity to absorb anything. I mean, I hear things and I go, oh my God, that's perfect for the show or the, you know. Carmen hears the same thing. It goes in one ear and out the other. And the reason I know that is because I always got to bring it up to him. I mean, you have to have some type of sense, instincts. No matter what profession you're in. And I just would, if a police officer made a mistake, like I give an example. Okay, the woman that pulled her gun instead of her laser.
Yeah, her taser in Minnesota. Yeah.
And said, I'm going to tase you.
Yes.
But it was her gun and she shot and killed, right?
That was an honest mistake.
That was an honest mistake. That was an honest mistake. Now, maybe, I don't know, you know, in the moment of battle, of action, maybe she doesn't belong there. Maybe that job is a little too tough for her. Because I have never really heard of that before. So there's mistakes and then there's mistakes. The George Floyd situation was a mistake where a guy should be punished. Her mistake, maybe she should be removed to desk work rather than street work. You see what I'm saying? There's a different degree of punishment for mistakes.
Yes, well.
Alec Baldwin, what is the difference? I mean, he should go to jail, right? He should be fired from, barred from acting.
Yes.
Or do we only do that to police officers?
Well, you brought that point up about 45 minutes ago. You are correct.
I mean, the double standards is just unbelievable. Imagine if that was you or me.
Oh, I'm going bye-bye.
Imagine if you were in your backyard at a party and you had you brought your gun that had blanks in it, and you're having a big party at your house, and you point it at your friend, and it's got blanks, and you pull the trigger, and you kill him or her.
I'm looking at least manslaughter.
What do you think is going to happen to you?
I'm going to court, and I'm being charged with at least manslaughter.
You're going to jail.
Yeah.
You're going to go to court, but you're going to jail. Is Alec Baldwin going to jail?
I highly doubt it.
Now, people will say, well, wait a minute. It wasn't his fault. It was the person that loaded the gun's fault and handed it to him.
The letter of the law, though, states, Trib, that he is ultimately responsible because he was the one that was handling it. Even if his assistant director told him it was a cold gun and didn't have live rounds in it, he is ultimately responsible.
So we're in my backyard.
Yeah.
We're having a party.
Mm-hmm.
There's 10, 12 couples there.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You hand me a gun and say, Trip, fool around here. Point it at Joe. I did it.
Yes.
Dump me there.
We did.
You dump me?
Yes.
Ironically, we were talking about that about 90 minutes ago.
Yes. Oops, I slipped. Okay, so now I got to start all over because I don't know where it got dumped at. Neither does the listener. Okay, so we're having a party in my backyard. There's 10 couples here. Right?
Yes.
Carmen pulls me to the side. He says, Trevor, here's my gun. It's got blanks in it. He said, pretend like you're going to get in an argument with Joe over there. You know, another friend of ours. Point the gun at him and pull the trigger and shoot it. Watch how scared he gets. He's not going to know there's blanks in there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you hand me the gun. I get in an argument with Joe. I point it at him. I pull the trigger because there's blanks in there. I'm just going to scare him. And you didn't put blanks in there. There were a real bullet in there, and I killed Joe. You don't think I'm going to jail?
Yeah, you are. And you know what? I should go, too.
And you're probably going to have some kind of charges against you also.
Yes, a conspirator and an accomplice to a crime, sure. We're both going away.
Right. So is Alec Baldwin going away? Or just police officers when they make mistakes?
It's just police officers or you and me in your backyard when I give you a loaded or a gun.
Yeah. So he's not going away.
I highly doubt it. All options, according to the sheriff and the prosecutor down there, are still on the table. They're still investigating it, but he hasn't been charged, and I highly doubt he will be.
All right, here's Olivia with traffic.
From the Okanagan Traffic Center, if an auto accident caused you injury, call 1-800-ELK-OHIO. Traffic slow on 480 West between Warrensville Center and Lee, then again between West 130th and 237. Within that slowdown, just after West 130th, an accident on the left shoulder. Accident Cedar at Richmond, Columbia, north of Lorain, also State Road, south of Brook Park. This report is sponsored by Sanofi Pastor.
It takes two vaccines to help protect you this season, the flu and COVID-19. And now you can get both shots at the same visit. Learn more at cdc.gov/vaccines.
Sponsored by Sanofi Pastor.
Olivia Musica, WTAM traffic at 1100 AM and 106.9 FM.
Highs today in the 50s. Tonight, partly cloudy. The overnight low will be in the 40s. And for your Thursday, mostly cloudy skies, a little warmer. Highs in the mid to upper 60s.
Somebody just texted in at 21095. Brought to you by Absolute Roofing. Says, where in the hell did it go now? Hold on. I have a good idea, Triv. Put on police cars in plain view. If you resist, you won't exist. I mean, I'd be for something like that, but now today it's just the opposite. If you resist, it's the police officer's fault. That's what they want to put on the side of cars now. I don't get it anymore. I really don't. It's a little bit scary when you stop and think about it.
You still got that poster of the officer that's blindfolded? Yeah. Can you do me a favor? Can you take a picture of that and text it to me so I can throw it on Facebook?
Yeah.
I thought we did that before.
I'll do it during the 6 o'clock news, but you could do it again. There's nothing wrong with that. Hey, listen. November 10th at the Lorraine Palace, David Mortash is doing a benefit for Travis Mills. Travis Mills is a soldier that lost both his arms and legs in Afghanistan. He's got a resort in Maine that helps other soldiers and their families that are in the same situation. So the Travis Mills resort is just unbelievable. I mean, it truly is. It really is. November 10th, Wednesday night at the Lorraine Palace. This is really cool. As a donor who wants to stay private, bought 200 tickets. 200 tickets. And he said, Dave Mortash said, Triv, just give them away to police officers, firemen, nurses, first responders. So I don't know how many people have called in yet to get these, but you can get 2 free tickets to see John Rich of Big and Rich November 10th at the Lorraine Palace. That night you'll meet Bernie Kosar, you'll meet Travis Mills. Billy Morris will also be opening for John Rich that night of Big and Rich. Max Soviak, a soldier that died in Afghanistan on August 26th, one of the 13 soldiers. His parents will be there. It's going to be a great night at the Lorraine Palace. And I can give you tickets right now if you're a police officer, a fireman, a nurse, or a first responder. All you got to do to get those tickets is call. You'll get 2 free tickets if you call. 877-GAINS-4-U, the number 4, the letter U. 877-GAINS-4-U. Or go to mortashfinancial.com. No, call. You got to call. 877-GAINS-4-U. The word gains, the number 4, the letter U, and you can get 2 free tickets. If you're a police officer, a fireman, a nurse, or a first responder. 877-GAINS-4-U, the number 4, the letter U. Call right now. There's people answering the phone. While the tickets last, there's not many left. And thank you, thank you, thank you to the donor that bought those 200 tickets to give away to police officers, nurses, firemen, and first responders. Call now. 877-GAINS-4-U, the number 4, the letter U, and get those 2 free tickets. They're free. Call right now. And get them. Let me go to Rich in Cleveland. Rich, you're in the air, Rich. I don't think Rich is there.
Rich.
Let me go to Tim. Tim, you're in the air, Tim.
Hey, Triv. I was calling about Steinbrenner and the salary cap and revenue sharing. But back to the Alec Baldwin thing, karma for him is he tweeted out about a cop that accidentally killed somebody years ago, and he said, "Oh, I hope this person can live with accidentally killing somebody," kind of bashing the cops. So it's almost like, well, you know, I guess you get what you pay for, being a know-it-all, being in Hollywood and all. But back to revenue sharing and Steinbrenner. Steinbrenner said that years ago. He goes, "I have no problem with revenue sharing. I get I'm in a big TV market, but I'll be damned if I give my money to owners to just put it in their pocket." And I want to say he mentioned Larry Dolan by name. So that goes back to what you were saying. There needs to be a floor, a salary floor in baseball. Because I can't just go and buy an Arby's franchise, or I can go buy an Arby's franchise, like you say. I can buy as many as I want tomorrow, but I can't go buy a baseball team.
And so, look at Haslam, the owner of the Browns. He was $100 million under the cap.
Correct. Correct. So there should be a floor. There has to be a floor for these owners to make it fair.
Yeah. I agree. I got to move here because I got to get the news. Somebody just text in real quick, and then we'll be back after the 6 o'clock news. So don't go anywhere. Someone just text in, Triv, how about the military? So I'll make a decision. If you're a veteran, and you want two free tickets to the November 10th John Rich concert benefiting Travis Mills, a soldier in the United States Army who lost both arms and legs in Afghanistan, who's helping other soldiers. That's November 10th at the Lorraine Palace. You're a veteran? Call. We'll give you two free tickets right now. 877-GAINS-4-U. You can get the two free tickets. The word GAINS, the number four, the letter U. 877-GAINS-4-U. If you're a military person, a veteran, you can get two free tickets. While they last, they're going fast. A donor bought 200 tickets and wants us to give them away to police officers, firemen, nurses, and first responders. Well, doesn't want us. Wants the donor wants Mortosh to give them away. And that's what he's doing. You got to call 877-GAINS-4-U. The word GAINS, the number four, the letter U. If you're a veteran, a police officer, a fireman, a nurse, or a first responder, I'll add veterans to that. Call 877-GAINS-4-U and get two free tickets to the John Rich concert. November 10th at the Lorraine Palace. We'll be back after the news. All right, let me go back to the phone lines. Let me go to Jack in Lakewood. Jack, you're in the air, Jack.
Hey, Trev, I love the whole show and everything. I'd like to get your opinion on the pending lawsuit between the Cleveland Guardians versus the Cleveland Guardians that is already here. Why didn't they just change the name to the Cleveland Indians? E-N-D-I-A-N-S. Your opinions. Thanks. Thank you.
What is it? A soccer team that already
roller
has
derby.
Roller derby.
Yep. I got the story right here. If you want me to play it.
Yeah.
The men's roller derby team that has been calling itself Cleveland Guardians filed suit in federal court against the Major League Baseball team now calling itself the Cleveland Guardians. The suit says the roller derby team was shortchanged by Major League Baseball. The baseball team actually filed its paperwork to trademark the name before the roller derby team did. However, the roller derby team says they have the rights to the name as they've been using it for the last 8 years.
Well, that sounds like a battle, huh?
Well,
even though they didn't have the rights to it officially, they had the right. They were using it.
But they didn't have the trademark paperwork. The Indians beat, or the Guardians beat them to the punch.
Yeah, so I wonder how that would work.
You need a patent attorney or trademark attorney to call in. But, you know, at first blush, I think that the Guardian baseball team, they're the winner here.
I'm sure the Indians looked at that legally before they changed the name to the Guardians, I would think, no?
Sure they did, because actually my cousin got the Cleveland Spiders. I don't know if he got it trademarked. He owned the Cleveland Spiders, and he was going back and forth with the ball club regarding the use of that potential name.
So, what do you mean?
He owned the Cleveland Spiders name, and that was one of the 1,100 that was under consideration.
No, they were never going to name the team the Cleveland Spiders.
No, I know, but there was some legal back and forth between he and the ball club over that potential name.
Come on, I don't even believe they ever considered naming them the Spiders. I mean, the Guardians is bad enough.
Yeah, well, I'm just telling you what he told me.
Are they going to name them the Cleveland Ants?
I mean, they had, at one time, what did they have? They whittled the list down to, what, 1,100 or 1,200 potential names before they finally came up with the Guardians?
I mean, first of all, there's not 1,200. There is, but there isn't 1,200 potential names.
Yeah, that's what we were told.
Yeah. I don't know. It's see what happens in the judicial system. I don't know.
That's in federal court.
Who's going to win that?
I would imagine the ball club's going to win it. I mean, they were the ones that filled out the paperwork first and got it. Despite the fact the roller derby team has called himself the Cleveland Guardians since 2013.
Well, why wouldn't the roller derby team trademark it?
That's a question you have to ask them. I have no
idea. Hold on. We got Joe. Joe says he's a trademark attorney. Let me go to Joe here. Joe, you're in the air.
Hi, this is Joe from Parma. I'm a trademark attorney. Okay. The reason they didn't do it is they didn't see
Yeah. All right. I take it Joe was not a trademark attorney.
We haven't had an I call in a long time.
That's probably the first in well over a year.
Thank you for the I call. Here's Olivia with traffic.
6.9 FM. Highs today in the 50s. Tonight, partly cloudy. The overnight low will be in the 40s. And for your Thursday, mostly cloudy skies, a little warmer. Highs in the mid to upper 60s.
Do you realize, have you stopped and given us any thought yet, that snow is right around the corner?
Oh, my God.
Well, quite frankly, was it yesterday, Seth? There were actually snowflakes on my windshield outside this building. Little tiny snowflakes. It wasn't hail. They were legitimate snowflakes. So, yes,
and right around the corner. The other thing, do you realize, is that this whole coronavirus situation started in roughly February, March of 2020.
Yes.
Do you realize in a few months that's 2 years ago?
That's scary how time flies.
For the record, next Thursday in the evening, chance of rain and snow.
Next Thursday?
And day, lake effect showers with some wet flakes mixing in at times. Next Thursday.
Mm. And Trip, by the way, we digressed, but the Cleveland Browns do have a waiting list for season tickets. And indeed, there is a $100 deposit for each seat, although that cost goes toward the purchase of the seats when you're on a waiting list.
But there's a limited amount of season tickets.
Yeah, we have no information as to how many.
Because there's not, I think the stadium holds 68,000. There's not 68,000 season ticket holders.
No, they've got
some. Positive of that.
They do put single game seats up for sale.
So they limit the amount of season tickets that can be purchased. Right?
Yes. Trying to find out the exact number of season ticket holders for the Browns.
No, that's all right. Don't worry about it. Let me go to Tim. Tim, you're in the air, Tim.
Yeah, your opinion on maybe Major League Baseball and the commissioner, if he had any guts, take back TV rights as owned by the league and divide the money equally.
Well, Tim, again, that's not going to happen. I think it's the Los Angeles Dodgers that get some ridiculous amount of money from local TV. They're not sharing that with anybody.
$4
billion. Well,
yeah, I mean they're not sharing that. It's not $4 billion. I think it's
a 40-year deal worth $4
billion. Yeah. That's but I'm saying it's not $4 billion a year.
So no.
Clear.
No.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was a $4 billion deal.
Yes.
Yeah, and as far as building stadiums and how to fund that, could we not charge these millionaire ball players a fee to play on our fields and save that money for renovations?
Yeah, a minimal fee. Exactly. Yes, you're making $35 million a year. You can't pay $50,000. As a ball, it goes by your salary, and then you know there would be a percentage, a small percentage, a half a percent, 1% of your salary that goes to the upkeep and paying for the stadium. Yes, thank you for the phone call.
Absolutely.
I've been bringing that up for years, for years. I know of no other business. And here's the other thing too. So an owner will buy a team. Let me just throw out numbers just for conversation. An owner will buy a team for $200 million. In 9 years, the team's worth $1 billion. The owner made $800 million on the value of the team increasing if you sell it. And if you sell a team, they'll all sell, believe me. There's a buyer out there for every major league team, whether it's baseball, basketball, or football. And look at the money they're making there alone in the increase of the value of the franchise, whether it's baseball, basketball, or football. And taxpayers got to pay for the upkeep of the stadiums.
I believe the
Dolphins. Not only are they making money on a yearly basis, they're making money on the increasing value of the team.
Yeah. The Dolans paid, what, $360 million for the team. And
the team's worth over $1 billion.
Yeah, $1.2 billion. Not a bad investment.
And they laughed at the Dolans when they paid that money. And now the team, so they paid roughly $300 million. Was it that much they paid?
$360 million, I believe.
And now the team's worth $1.2 billion.
Remember what Mr. Jacobs paid for it in 86?
They've made almost $1 billion.
Yes.
And the increase of the value of the team. Let alone what, I'm not singling out the Indians, whatever team, let alone what you're making every year. That's why I think you're starting to see sports decline in this country, because I think people, even younger people, are starting to figure it out. I mean, you're busting your ass for $20 an hour, and somebody like Baker Mayfield is going to make $35 million. Kevin Love, there's a guy that played like four games last year.
$30 million.
He had every excuse in the world not to play. How much does he make a year?
$30 million.
$30 million.
This year and next.
I think people are starting to, I think a lot of things, rule changes, political statements, I think a lot of things are running people away from sports.
Oh, for the record, the Dolans bought the team from Dick Jacobs in 1999 for $323
million. $323 million. Now worth $1.2 billion. They've almost made $1 billion.
Only just in America.
On the increase. Yeah. Yeah. Pretty good investment, huh?
Yeah. And I, if memory serves correctly, I believe Mr. Jacobs purchased the team for $30 million in cash and assumed, I think, another $6 million in debt. That was in 86, and he got $323 million. So he fared well, too.
I remember back in the 90s when Dick Jacobs bought the team. Or was it prior to that? When Steinbrenner was going to buy the team?
73?
No.
Yeah, George was... he had a deal... yeah, it was 73. I'm almost positive. Let me make sure, but...
was it that long ago?
Yeah.
I wonder how much different every history would be if Steinbrenner bought the Indians. You think it would have changed anything?
I believe so. He was the ultimate competitor, and as we know... now, granted, he had a huge revenue stream in that market, but he would have spent money to put his team in the best position possible to win a championship.
Wasn't it when Jacobs bought the team that it was rumored Steinbrenner was, or not?
No. No, I mean, no, that was 86. Mr. Jacobs bought the Indians in 86.
Yeah, and then Steinbrenner was supposed to, and then they turned down his bid or something?
That Steinbrenner already owned the Yankees. That was 73.
When did Steinbrenner buy the Yankees? Because that'll tell you the year. What year did Steinbrenner buy the Yankees?
Hold on.
My God, does time fly? Holy schmoly, does time fly? I almost said it again.
He bought it. Actually, he bought them January of 1973. Purchased the New York Yankees for $10 million from CBS.
So Steinbrenner bought the Yankees in 73?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
my. Yeah, you remember 20. He and Billy were going at it.
Almost 50 years ago.
Yes.
I cannot believe how fast time goes. What really scares me is because... how fast time goes is the coronavirus thing.
Oh,
I remember March when it all broke of 2020, which is almost 2 years from now. 2 years ago, I mean. In a few months, it'll be 2 years. November, December, January, February. 4 months, it'll be 2 years. the coronavirus thing all started. And then we had the shutdowns and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody was staying at home. I started working from home and stuff like that. That was almost 2 years ago. Think about that for a second. Does that seem like 2 years ago, or does that seem like 6 months ago?
Seems like 6 months ago. What's that song? Life is but a one-night
stand.
Yes.
Goes by like that.
Wow. Yeah, somebody just texted in, why did the Indians change their name to the Windians? Because it's real windy. And, you know, they could have got away with it. The Windians.
Yeah, possibly.
What do you think?
Sure. But it's the Guardians. And now it's in a court of law.
All right, we got to take a break for news. We'll be back.
Now join a news conference from Cleveland Browns quarterback Baker Mayfield earlier this afternoon in Berea.
Ryan, you're going to try to practice and you think you're going to go Sunday? See how it goes?
Yeah, I mean, I think similar to last week of, you know, see what I can do and take it day by day.
You reported on Fox the other night where you told Jay that the swelling or it needs to heal before you can go back out there. Have you had some healing? Did the time off help you some?
It definitely did. A noticeable difference in range of motion and strength. So, like I said, take it day by day and see where we're at.
How much did the fact that the game was on Thursday last week impact that you didn't play? If it were on a Sunday, could you have played potentially?
I mean, it was on a Thursday, so we could go into the what-ifs, but that was just the, you know, fact that it was on a Thursday, so I wasn't able to go.
Baker, last week you practiced Tuesday, right? Did the shoulder bother you a lot during practice, or is it more afterward?
I mean, I think it was a little bit of both. I'm just, you know, I said it last week, if I feel like I'm not able to be you know, close to 100% and be able to help this team. If I'm in a situation where I'm going to hurt the team, I'm not going to go. So that's where we were at, and that's what we evaluated.
On the Glazer report, Baker, is it just you want the truth out there and exactly what's going on?
Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, he's asking me, and it's just, it was definitely a little bit different hit than the Arizona game or a different fall. So it was just different. It wasn't the same at all.
Is there different pain with the bone versus the labrum?
Yeah. Yeah.
Baker, can you clarify? So the way he reported it was that you need the fracture to heal before you feel comfortable to play again. Does that mean the fracture could conceivably heal just a matter of days? I think.
I mean, yeah. I'm not exactly a doctor. I don't know how long it takes for those things to heal, but it was mostly about the inflammation and so I can get that range of motion and that strength back. So that's where we're at, and that's where we're continuing to evaluate.
Are you worried about making the bone worse if you get back out there too quickly?
No.
Is playing Sunday a possibility? I know you said you're going to see how it goes. But
absolutely.
And, you know, I think a lot of people's heard fractured bone, and the reaction was maybe Baker should shut it down. Was that ever discussed? Has that been discussed at all?
Shut it down as in, like, for the season?
Yeah.
No. People talk on the outside.
That's, sure.
They don't know how I feel, nor do they decide whether I can go or not.
And another thing I wanted to ask you, last week you said you didn't know about surgery. Well, obviously we've learned more publicly about the shoulder. Have you reached a point where you expect surgery now? At the point, like, even, you know, it's after the season, do you think that is going to happen?
I mean, I think I'm still taking it day by day, to be honest with you, because you can do certain things to repair the stuff inside the rotator cuff and strengthen it up. You know, if you examine a lot of people's shoulders, you'd see a lot of partial tears in those labrums. So you can do things to, I guess, help with that. But, you know, we'll evaluate that when the time needs.
So you don't think it's a foregone conclusion that surgery's happening?
No. And I don't think anybody else has the knowledge to be able to do that either.
Right, but the medical people you've talked to haven't said it has to happen.
No, I mean, they're always, you know, if we have to do this, then... you know, we talked about who to possibly go through, but that's down the road.
Did I hear you correctly to say that playing would not, or getting hit would not make it worse? Is that what you said? Or?
No, he asked if I was worried about that, and I said no.
The fact that you had the second injury against the Cardinals, what's your confidence level that if you come back this week or the week after, that you'll be able to finish the season?
I mean, I'm completely confident in that. You know, that's... You go out there, you're scared, you're timid. That's how you really get hurt, seriously. And so I can't do that, you know. So like I said, trying to get the strength back and be able to go as close to 100% as possible. And if that's not the case, then you know, we trust the guys we have out there. You guys saw that we came out with a win with kind of a manufactured team, and Case did a great job.
Is there a time where you need to know this week whether or not you start, or how many reps you need to get, or could it come down to, you know, Friday afternoon?
There's not a certain number of reps that I specifically need. I mean, you saw last week that Case, on a short week, got very minimum reps as well and did absolutely great. So I think, you know, there's a lot of what-ifs, but we're just going to take it day by day.
You were playing with the labrum injury, you know, before the Cardinals game, and you seemed to be doing fine with it. Do you feel like you can get back to that point before the Cardinals game where, yeah, you've got the torn labrum, but you feel comfortable playing, dealing with the pain the way you were before? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I would expect to come back stronger and, you know, be able to get back to the little fundamentals that I have to, and just deal with it. Yeah, I expect completely to come back.
Since Tony has said, you know, running with the ball and being open is a big part of your game, how would that be affected by this injury?
Just protect myself and slide when I need to.
Biggest range of motion the biggest consideration now?
No, I mean, I think that's been the biggest difference of playing that Thursday game and having that weekend off of being able to get all that down and do all the rehab I need to do that. You know, it was on a short week, the inflammation's pretty severe, so was able to do that, and now it's getting strength back.
So if 1 week helped, would 3 weeks be better? Would an IR stint be wise for you? Or?
Three is greater than one, Tom, so yes. I'm not looking at that. I'm looking at taking it day by day. I think you guys know how I am. I want to be out there playing. And like I said last week, if the situation where I would hurt the team if I was out there playing, I'm not going to do it.
How important is the snap or the start streak? You know, obviously that was snapped. How important was that to you?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it was pretty important. Just because looking at all the dysfunction that I had to overcome to be able to start the whole time and stay healthy and do all that. So that was very important. To me, but that's an individual thing, and it's more about winning than anything. So we did just that last week, and trying to do the same this week.
Is it difficult to kind of balance? Like, you want to be out there, you want to play, versus you also have to think a little bit long term as you kind of assess what you're going to do week to week or day to day.
I'd say yes, because that was the first game I missed in 8 years, and before that, I missed three total games in my life. So yeah, that was a tough decision, because that's just not something I'm about. I'm not about missing practice or playing time. So, yeah, but it's a long-term picture, and that's what everybody's, you know, the devil's advocate of, but other than my mindset. So it's good to hear both sides and just evaluate it.
Kind of off that, Baker, there's a report that you had to be forced to not play last week. Any insight you can give us just on what are those conversations like between the medical people, you, coaches, on your playing status?
Yeah, I think, you know, they were definitely advising not to play. And I think I was a little bit, you know, I for sure wanted to. I thought I was going to be able to, but it got to the point after practice on Thursday or Tuesday last week that, you know, just wasn't able to do the things I needed to, and, you know, made that decision.
How tough was it standing on the sideline?
It's not tough when you're winning. It's pretty fun to watch these guys play and play for each other. I mean, I think, you know, the way those guys fought, it was a good team win. It's just, that's what it's about, is, you know, finding ways to win no matter what it is, especially on a short week with limited guys and, you know, just plug and play guys and just to watch them succeed. That's why you see the energy, you see guys fighting for each other, the excitement when like guys like Dearness or Johnny Stanton score. That's what it's about, and that's what this team's about, and that's, you know, that's why I continue to say trust the guys in this locker room, and I love this locker room because of that, and you see that on display.
If everything goes according to plan, the starting five offensive line is going to be back together for the first time since week one. Does that at all impact your thinking and just what kind of a, I guess, confidence booster from a protection standpoint for you personally? Does that give you, knowing that you can have your five guys back together?
I mean, that'd be great, obviously, but I think look at the last time we played the Steelers, the last two times we've had makeshift starters and different guys plug and play. So I trust those guys no matter who's in there. That's just the way we are, and that's how I'm going to operate. So I'm going to try and do the best I can to get back 100%, and those guys have to do the same. That's just what we expect.
Just a couple more. How much confidence do you think you guys gained from those wins over the Steelers at the end of last year, given some of the struggles previously?
I think that was big, you know, because division opponent Steelers, they've been, you know, the face of the division for a while. It's just always a physical game. And so you saw that physical battle, and you saw the running game of what that was and flashes of our potential. So, none of that carries over into this year. So, it gave us confidence last year, but, you know, we've had to hit the reset button because we're sitting right here at 4-3.
Kind of off that figure, you've obviously played them a lot. Does it feel different? Is there like a little rivalry feel because it is Pittsburgh? Or is it just another game?
It's definitely a division rivalry. I think you hear more about it within the fans and in the community than anything. It's, you know, when you play the same guys over and over again, it tends to be like that. But, it's just another good opponent and a great challenge for us.
When you think of Ben's career, what pops in your mind?
I think he's had an unbelievable career. Obviously, you know, the dealing with injuries, but just his ball placement, his ability to extend plays, I think he's a tremendous player. And he's been able to lead that franchise for a long, long time. And so I think he's a great player.
Are TJ and Minka the first two guys you look for when you get to the line, and what makes them so good?
And that large human being, 97, in the middle. Yeah. They're game changers. So those are the guys you try and neutralize and make sure they're not wrecking the game.
Hey, you've thrown support behind Julius Jones, and there's been some updates there and some developments. What do you want people to know about why that's an important issue?
Yeah, that goes back to, you know, the social injustice movement that, you know, the whole league and the Browns, you know, got behind last year, and, you know, specifically my cause last year was to help Julius out and to try and get the truth out there, to you know, spread knowledge and awareness, and just to continue to do that. And that's a case that within the state of Oklahoma, obviously I have a lot of ties and familiarity there that I wanted to be a part of because I'm passionate about that and giving back to that state.
That was Browns quarterback Baker Mayfield earlier this afternoon in Berea. We now join today's news conference from Browns running back Nick Chubb.
Nick, are you planning to play Sunday?
Hey, I hope so. You know, we'll see how this week goes, see how practice goes, and make decision later on.
How fun was it to see Dearness have that game?
Yeah, it was awesome to see him. Him and Johnny and John, you know, all go out there and step up, and we needed them big, and they came through for us. I mean, it was awesome watching them play, and, you know, watching them just run the ball through those guys and have a good game.
Seeing stuff on social media, the video after the game, everybody seemed like so happy for him. What is it about Dearness that everybody on this team just seems to love?
It's his story. I mean, he 2 years ago, 3 years ago, he was fishing on the boat, trying to find some money and find some work, and now he's here on the Browns, and he had a great game. It's a story where he's come from, trusting the process, never giving up. I mean, he's just a lovable guy too. I mean, he's one of my best friends on the team, and it was fun watching him play.
Would you say you're close to full go right now, or you need another day or two before you say that?
Oh, it's hard to tell. I haven't really been on the field yet, so I guess I'll find out today.
How did the injury occur?
I don't know that. I don't know the answer to that either. I mean, it just kind of tightened up on me during the Chargers game. I managed to finish the game on it, but I noticed something wasn't right, and so I got it looked at further, and, you know, I strained my calf somewhere in the game.
How do you respond after the work you got in Monday?
It feels great, yeah.
How weird was it to see Baker standing on the sideline with you when he had missed a game and went up 53 starts?
Yeah, it was weird. It felt like a preseason game. We had so many guys out. He's tough, though. I mean, I'm not worried about Baker at all. If he couldn't play, then something might have been wrong with his shoulder. So I know he's a tough guy. He'll be back.
You worried about – he said he's not, but are you worried that if he continues to play that he could have more injuries at his shoulder? It's been already two this year.
I don't know. I mean, that's a question for him. I don't know how he's feeling exactly. I know he's tough, and, you know, no matter what happens, there's seriously about to play if he can.
You said Dearness is one of your best friends. Did he tell you the story about messaging all the AFL teams and all the Canadians?
No. That story I never heard. And that one was new to me, but, I mean, it just shows, you know, how much he's been through, how much he wanted it. And, I mean, he thankful the Browns took a chance with him.
Nick, you've been here for in practice all the time. He's got a nice jump cut. He does a lot of things really well. See a guy that could play elsewhere. Obviously, he's got two really good.
Yeah.
Nick, you've been here for a few years. Is it a little different when it's Steelers week?
I mean, I get it, it's a rivalry tradition thing, but for me, I'm taking it day by day. I always take it. Yeah.
When you look at their defense, what jumps out?
I mean, same as always, those guys. I mean, big and physical. I mean, up front, they're athletic, they're fast. I mean, they're, you know, great tacklers. They do a lot of, they cover the ball well. They do almost everything almost everything great. So, you know, it'll be a challenge for us for sure. I mean, they're a great defense.
How's Kareem's spirits and how have you been able to support him behind the scenes?
Yeah, he's been good. You know, I've been there for him. We all have, just talking to him, keeping his head up. Because, I mean, end of the day, he has a chance to come back later in the season. So that's what we're all hoping for. So, you know, he's still working towards that.
Does it hurt you, though, when he gets carted off? I mean, you hate to see anybody get carted off, but it's one of your best clubs. Mm-hmm.
For sure, it's Kareem, too. That's how I knew something was wrong with him, because Kareem never went down and stayed down, and he's never missed a game either. So I knew from that something was really wrong, but, you know, we're all happy that it's not worse than it is.
This is the first game in the division that's middle of the season already. If you look on this, it's almost a restart to the season now, with the standing so close.
Maybe, I mean. Not really looking at it like that. I mean, it's still a long season. You know, we're happy to be able to play a great team in the Steelers and just go out and have a good day of practice.
The Steelers are missing a couple of key guys up front. Do you notice that when you watch them?
I mean, they still look good to me. It's not any fall off at all. They're still doing great things, still making big plays.
And then when the TV cameras would show you against the Cardinals, you look miserable standing on the sideline. Is that just, did you want to be out there? Team's losing, because you look like you smiled a little bit Thursday night.
Well, we were losing. I mean, that's pretty much all that it was. Yeah.
Last year, when you missed four games with an injury, first couple games back, you had big games right off bat, 100 yard plus games. It's kind of like your history, even going back to college. Do you feel reinvigorated to be out there? Does that give you added energies?
I mean, I'm just happy to be out there, like you said, and just I'm excited to be back with my boys again. So that's pretty much it.
Nick, do you think, obviously Kareem has, you know, got that skill set, do you think Ernest could slide into that, you know, just kind of get back to what you guys have with the 1-2 punch there?
Yeah, I think so.
Did Jarvis talk to you at all about coming back from the MCL because you went through it last year?
Yeah, we talked. I mean, I told him all the things I felt, what I was feeling 4 weeks out. And, I mean, I think he's responding well.
And what kind of just one more Jarvis thing. You had the vantage point from the sideline. What kind of lift did you see him provide? Was there a different energy with him out there?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, he brings energy every time he's on the field. And it's perfect that he got the first play, the ball to him, and he almost got a Tony penalty, but, you know, he brought energy, and the team responded well to it.
That was a news conference from Cleveland Browns running back Nick Chubb earlier today in Berea. D-man Dennis Medeloff coming up next right here on News Radio WTAM 1100.